Good morning.
Morning.
The singing sounded great today. As always, you guys do a great job with the singing. I want to welcome the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors with us. I know Alabama and Georgia are represented. I know Tennessee is in the house. Missouri is well represented. And there may be a few others that I'm overlooking. Miss Lorraine back from California. But she's kind of part member here, so we don't think of Lorraine as a visitor. Hope you enjoy your stay in Las Vegas. And like Daryl said earlier, hope you can go back and tell your home congregation that the church is alive and well in Las Vegas. One would maybe think otherwise with the idea of Sin City and all that stuff, but we're alive and kicking. Our lesson today is Philip or Philip. Last week, we had a lesson about our duty spreading the gospel to others. And I made the comment, I know the difference, but I made the comment that Philip the apostle, or who would later be an apostle, when he found out about Jesus, one of the first things he did was he went and told that to Nathanael. He had to share it. He needed to go and tell others because they had been looking for the Messiah. And it made the boneheaded comment. I know the difference. I'll just attribute it to age or something. I don't know. Made the comment that, you know, he went on later on and preached and taught the Ethiopian eunuch and baptized him. That's different, Philip. So as I started thinking, maybe people don't know. And bottom line, I need to correct myself from misspeaking last week. So we're going to look at Philip the apostle, or Philip the deacon slash evangelist. A lot of times we call him Philip the evangelist. Philip the apostle, he's mentioned numerous times throughout the gospel. In fact, in each of the gospel accounts, he's mentioned as being called by Jesus and listed with one of the 12. And then also, you know, in when they give the rundown of the apostles in Acts. So there was a Philip, an apostle. We think of him as one of those 12 that went around with Jesus. He was Jewish. He was one of the first apostles chosen. Jesus in John 1:43 told him, "Follow me," and he did. He did. And later told Nathanael about Jesus when he found out from John the Baptist that this Jesus is the Lamb of God. This Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. He had to go tell Nathanael about it. Then there's Philip, the deacon. Philip, the evangelist. Different man, same name, different person. He was chosen for what we would call deacon duties in Acts, the sixth chapter. The apostles made the comment there in Acts, some of the widows were being overlooked with the serving of food. And people are telling the apostles about it, and they respond, "Should we abandon doing important work for God to serve tables? Let's get some people to be responsible for that. It's an important work. But we need to focus on spiritual things as the apostles. Let's get some men to oversee this work." And we see the workings of deacons. And in verse 3, the apostle says, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So, the 7 that were picked, which included Philip, had a good reputation. Wednesday night Bible study, we're looking at different lessons that are in the book of Proverbs. And this past Wednesday, we looked at our character, our reputation, our you know, what we're known for, our integrity. And Philip was a man of good reputation. He was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And he was a responsible man that could be counted on to do this. Didn't mean he was just a workhorse. We're going to see later, there was more to Philip than just making sure people had food. He was humble enough to be able to do work. We see an awful lot in this that maybe isn't in the words. He was humble enough to be a worker, a servant. But yet, he was also full of wisdom, and he's going to display that wisdom and his ability to teach. In Acts 8, we see that, you know, most of the chapter is, or a good portion of this chapter is devoted to him teaching and having interaction with a man from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch. And he comes across him and winds up teaching. Where the eunuch was studying in Isaiah, he was able to start where he was and preach Jesus to him. And as they're going down the road, his message was clear enough, and the eunuch came to the decision to be baptized. So not only was Philip a good man, a worker, but he was spiritual. He had spiritual knowledge and so forth. Paul wound up staying with Philip when he was in Caesarea. We see just from that he was hospitable, that he opened his house up to Paul and his companions earlier on in this passage. We see Paul had 9 traveling companions with him. He opened his house up. Many of you do that. Opening, you share what you've got. Some of us have more than others. But you share what you have. That's the kind of man Philip was. Now, it gets us to this point. I made a comment last week, kind of saying that Philip the Apostle, later on, taught the eunuch. No. I happen to misspeak. It comes down, though, to knowledge of the Scriptures. There's a difference in misspeaking. There's a difference in maybe a typographical error, which I've done. It irritates me so bad. I will look over an outline 86 different ways. And then they're being passed out, I notice there's a typographical error. You know, it drives me nuts. But we're not talking about an error. We're talking about knowledge of the Scriptures. When we study the Bible and we run across a name, when we run across, was it Philip or Philip? When you know, there was 2 Judases. That might be a good lesson sometime. You know, Judas or Judas. When we run across something that maybe doesn't make sense to us the first time we read it, or it might seem to contradict something, that's our knowledge of the Scriptures coming into play, or lack of knowledge of the Scriptures. the best thing about that, I can't always catch a typographical error. Can't always tell if I'm going to misspeak something, or neither can we. But we can do something about our knowledge of the Scriptures. Good old-fashioned Bible study. Good old-fashioned effort. That's all that it boils down to. We see in Proverbs, again, I give you a personal invitation. Don't know if that's going to carry much weight, but I give you a personal invitation. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. We're studying different lessons. We're not going a verse by verse in Proverbs, but we're looking at different themes in the book of Proverbs. And the first one we looked at was the importance of the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. That it was a constant theme throughout. But in Proverbs 1:7 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Hence, if we go backwards, if fools despise wisdom and instruction, wise people will want wisdom and instruction. And it comes today for us through the study of God's Word. In Proverbs 3, it says, starting in verse 13, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." That's that knowledge and wisdom of God's Word, that only God's Word can supply. In Acts 17, verse 11, we see the Christians in Berea. And it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Amen. That, you talk about, you know, the last 3 weeks we had lessons on duty. Our duty as Christians. It's our duty as Christians to study the Bible. To not only a duty, but we get to. We have the Bible. In God's infinite wisdom and providence, He has preserved His Word, Old Testament and New Testament, for us that we can study it today. Amen. Just like the Christians of the first century did. And we have that access to God's Word. It said that they received the Word with all readiness. A lot of people hear the Word. Do we receive it with all readiness, eagerness? You know, do we actually receive it? Because a lot of times, just ask Stacy, I can hear something and it going one ear and out the other. Especially if she's on the other end of it. She says, "I just said this to you. Did it go in one ear and out the other?" "Yeah, kind of did." Do we receive the Word of God with all readiness and eagerness? "And they searched the Scriptures daily." We sometimes think we're doing an awful lot showing up for Sunday morning worship once a week, devoting 45 minutes to an hour of our lives out of the whole week. They searched the Scriptures daily. And it leads us to, what do we do with it? In 2 Timothy, and I appreciate Tracy reading this, all of my verses that I use are out of the New King James Version. I loved Tracy's translation, the King James, because it says, "Study to show yourself approved." be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Obviously, there's going to be people that will be ashamed. On that day when they stand before the Lord, they will be ashamed. But we don't have to. Study. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God. God endorsed. The thumbs up. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what study does for us. We are able to distinguish Philip or Philip. We're able to distinguish something that might seem a little confusing. We're able to distinguish something that somebody else might think contradicts itself. No, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It's from our study that the light is shed on it, and we'll be able to understand it better. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. Just like God spoke and the worlds were created. Just like Jesus spoke and the winds and the waves were calm in Bible class today. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It establishes our doctrine of what we believe as Christians. We don't have to worry or argue or, well, in my opinion, or I think we should. It's set for us. It is set for doctrine. It is set for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Gives us everything we need. Now, a couple of the things there. Reproof and correction. And instruction in righteousness. Not one person corrected me last week. Maybe they would have. The Word of God can do that. And I never, ever want you to think I'm unapproachable. Ever. Haven't you known people like that? Not just preachers, Christians in general. You can't approach them. Heaven forbid, correct them. The Word of God can do that. We see an example of that, and we'll end up with this. The willingness to correct. The Word of God gives us that ability. We have to be willing to do it. We have, as brothers and sisters in Christ, have to be willing to not only share doctrine, not only kind of like Philip the Apostle going to Nathanael, we found the Christ. Not only sharing, but sometimes having to correct. Ooh. Nobody likes, their flaws being pointed out. Nobody likes to be told they got an ugly baby. Nobody likes that. Nobody enjoys the spotlight on their flaws or the correct. But you know what? I'm going to use Daryl because I know we can. We've been friends a long time. We wouldn't be friends if we would let the other one, what's that saying? Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends don't let other friends go to hell. Amen. I know that if I had sin in my life, I like to think my buddy Daryl would try to help me. And vice versa, and me with you, and you with me. Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos and taught him more accurately. Earlier in verse 24, it talks about Apollos being an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. A gourmet. And here's Priscilla and Aquila, biscuits and gravy. They corrected him. In verse 26, it said, so he began talking about Apollos, a man eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Amen. We see an awful lot in that. They didn't blast him with both barrels. You know, they maintained Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 14:40 about things being done decently and in order. They didn't just cause an uproar in the assembly. They took him aside. One, for his benefit, to teach him more accurately. You are an unbelievable speaker, Apollos. But you've got something a little that you don't know. He'd only been taught in the words of John the Baptist. They added and flavored what he knew. Who knows how they helped him? And who knows how their efforts were felt in the kingdom? Because, Apollos was a man mighty in the scriptures, very eloquent man, and they were able to help him. We see, instead of blasting somebody, they took him aside. Didn't embarrass him, didn't put the spotlight on him. And how? As a brother. For the sake of the brother, for the sake of the church. We see an awful lot in this idea, Philip or Philip. We're going to run across those things as we study the Bible. We're going to have questions in our mind, and it can be answered through Bible study, through other Christians. That's one of the things I like about Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible study, is getting to hear the knowledge of other people. People say, well, I already know. I've already studied that subject. You know, that's why I don't come. Then come and share your knowledge, your vast knowledge, with everybody else. Share with me. If you've already covered that and you already know that material, share what you've learned with others. We need to study the Word of God. Bottom line, study the Word of God and be proficient in it. Not just memorize words. Be proficient in it. Be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to share it. We need to use it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's not always easy to do. It's not always fun to do, to correct a brother or sister. It's not always easy to be corrected. And for instruction in righteousness. If you need, that lesson's yours. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to break up an assembly without offering that the opportunity for people. If they need prayers, we didn't have any prayer requests turned in today. If there's sin in your life that is causing you to stumble and from walking the most efficient walk you can with God, repent from that sin. If there is sin in your life that is causing others to stumble, put that aside. save yourself and others from sinning. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't done so, the baptistry is ready. We had Carla and Carlos Macias baptized 2 weeks ago. What a wonderful sight that was to see them grow up and studying the Word of God, having godly parents, and then to put their Lord on in baptism. Whatever your need, if we can assist you, come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.